In the name of Jesus, amen. Good news to your ears, or were the words a bit disturbing? Everyone who endures to the end will be saved. And everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Is that the gospel of the Lord? Have you ever tried to swim against an ocean current, or paddle out against heavy surf, or tried to sail uphill against the ocean's rivers? It's nearly impossible at times. In fact, it's so difficult, it's easier to just turn around, buy a sled, and go with the flow. This morning, Jesus wants you to know ahead of time that that's what the Christian life is going to be like in this world. It's going to be like swimming against a riptide. It's going to be like walking against a whole crowd of people walking the other direction, none of them too happy, by the way, that you're getting in their way. And you can see that in the way attacks on Christ's church have once again increased. This morning, Jesus wants you to know ahead of time that following him isn't going to be easy. A great crowd of people, the whole world, in fact, caught in the nasty current of Satan and his lies, are all slowly, and sometimes not so slowly, drifting in the waters of sin toward the certain cascading waterfalls of death. And swimming against that current isn't easy. For not only is the water moving against you, it's filled with debris coming at you as well. So contrary to the popular preaching that your life will get easier with Jesus, or that Christianity is about health and wealth and comfort and tranquility, your best life now, Jesus preaches reality. In our gospel, Jesus tells us a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to strive to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they had called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Jesus tells us how it's going to be for those who follow him. If the crowds call Jesus the Lord of the flies, what do you think they're going to call and do to those who follow him? And so the persecution he faced, you will face. The opposition he faced, you're going to face. The death he faced, you're going to face. It was that way for the author of our first lesson this morning, for Jeremiah, as he tried to swim against the popular thinking and the hordes of people and the so-called prophets of God, who demanded he quit his dismal God-ordained preaching, hoping for his fall and praying for his demise. It got so bad that there were even times in Jeremiah's life when he tried to get out of the current and not mention the Lord, nor speak in his name anymore, so pummeled was he by the debris in the current. It was that way for Jeremiah, and for all the apostles of our Lord, and for all those early Christian martyrs who faced the most gruesome of tortures and deaths. This coming week, the church celebrates the anniversary of the first reading of the Augsburg Confession. It was on June the 25th, 1530, when a layman by the name of Christian Beyer stepped into the middle of a room about this size and read the Augsburg Confession as loudly as he could before Emperor Charles V, so that even those outside of the room could hear the truth of Holy Scripture over against the common current political, popular, religious thinking and thought of the day, and then they suffered persecution for it. And it's that way now for our brothers and sisters in Christ, in Iraq, and Syria, and Afghanistan, and various parts of Africa, and the Middle East, and Southeast Asia, where being a servant of our Master puts our brothers and sisters in peril as they face the sword of a peace-loving Islam. And it's the same for you and me, whom Jesus sends out into our own little towns with God's word of truth. For persecutions against Christ's church are rising where we live as well. And swimming against the current of popular political correctness, saying something from the Word of God on hot-button issues of today, and objecting to the bold and sinful acting out against God in His ways, puts us at risk of persecution as well. It's not easy, Jesus says. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. Jesus minces no words. In fact, the current is so strong, it will pit brother against brother, and fathers and children even to the point of death. It's not easy, Jesus says. But there is hope. The one who endures to the end will be saved. At the end of the struggle, there's salvation. In other words, there's a blessing that comes. There's a blessing that Satan and his minions can't take from us, for it's a blessing earned not by ourselves, but by our Lord Jesus. There's a victory won for us by the bodily resurrection of Jesus that the powers and principalities of this world can't deny us. So when you are struggling against this powerful current and getting pummeled by its assaulting waves, and you're tempted to just turn around and swim with them rather than against them, remember, even in the face of all of that, there's hope. There's a blessing that's yours. There's a victory that's yours. The one who endures to the end will be saved. But then, that's kind of the problem too, isn't it? The one who endures raises a bit of a question, because in the face of the waves that are pounding you, sometimes it's hard to imagine that one might actually even endure this. And maybe even a quick peek into your life might well convince you that you're not, in fact, enduring well at all. And then these words become a terrible curse. The one who endures to the end will be saved, and I'm not enduring very well. We'll get back to that. But first, know this. In the midst of this raging torrent, know that you are not alone. Jesus never sends his disciples out into the world alone. He never sends them out without first giving them what they need, his strength and his promise. His strength to support you, and his promise to sustain you. And he does this because he knows that on our own, we will get swept away, and we will not endure, for the opposition is just too great. He knows that there's opposition from Satan, who won't give up an inch, let alone a soul, without a fight. There's opposition from the world, who doesn't welcome a message that says that there is a higher authority to which every knee will bend, and an absolute truth to whom all will be most certainly having to answer. And then, maybe most dangerous of all, is there's opposition from within each and every one of us. That tiny little voice telling you, you don't have to listen to God all the time. Don't subject yourself to Christ and His will. In fact, don't submit yourself to anyone but yourself. There's a tiny voice telling you that the struggle just isn't worth it. It's not, believe me, it's not worth a family fight over, folks. Really. It's not worth ticking off a friend over. It's too hard. It's not worth the risk. So just turn around and go with the flow. As you well know, that's the best way to deal with riptides. Make peace with it. For heaven's sake, don't say anything, and everything will go better for you. Besides, they're not going to listen to you anyway, the tiny little voice says. That tiny little voice in each of us wields great power, for it knows our fears. You say you're not afraid of anything? Well, that tiny little voice knows differently. It knows you fear rejection, especially by family members. And if you don't fear that, then you fear failure. Or you fear being made fun of. Or you fear the unknown. Or you fear what happens when the tide turns against Christ's church and someday we find ourselves tortured and our beautiful church burned to the ground. And fear can be a very powerful thing. And so three times Jesus tells his disciples, have no fear. Have no fear of them. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Have no fear of speaking my word, Jesus says. Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. For your body will be raised from the dead. You have Jesus' resurrection promise on that. And they can't touch your soul. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Fear not. For your Father who is in heaven promises that he will not let you get swept away like so much fly-laden kelp in the surf. As hard and terrible as the struggle gets, he will see you through it. If in the vastness of this great creation, not even a sparrow can fall unnoticed, know for certain that he cares about everything that's happening to you, for you are of more value than many sparrows, bought not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus. So as you go through the towns and villages that make up your life, your Father knows. Your Savior intercedes for you. And the Holy Spirit sighs with groans too deep for words on your behalf. For you are who you are. A baptized child of the Heavenly Father who absolutely will not leave you on your own. That's the strength he comes to you with. And a wonderful promise he gives to you as well. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. And everyone who acknowledges me can only be us, right? I mean, here we are in this place, our presence acknowledging him, your car out in the parking lot acknowledging you're worshiping him here in this place. And Jesus' promise is that he will acknowledge us before his Father who is in heaven. And those who deny Jesus before men are, well, all the other guys, especially those folks who are missing this morning. Now, there were some in early, so don't. Those walking with the world and swimming with the current as we swim against it. Except that it's not that simple. Do you always swim against the tides and currents of this world? Or do you find yourselves giving in sometimes? Sometimes because you want to. Sometimes because you just do it out of weakness. And yet again, because you're just plain tired and you can't keep up the fight. Do you find that you swim against the current, but you do it for the wrong reasons? And even when you manage to swim God's way, do you find that your thoughts and your desires have been soiled with sin, even though you don't want them to be? Do you really cherish and guard and defend and keep all that Jesus says, or just those parts that you like at the time? Do you really believe in Jesus? Are you really getting better day by day? Are you really enduring to the end? Or have you just faked yourself out? Do not fear. You are in good company. not enduring very well doesn't just happen to you. It happens to all of God's people throughout all the ages. Look at Jeremiah this morning, where the great Old Testament preacher says of God's word that it has become to him a reproach and a derision to him all day long, and they just as soon not mention him or speak any more in his name. And the disciples all ran away when Jesus got arrested, ran away out of fear. Peter, afraid he'd get discovered in the courtyard, lied about knowing Jesus. Fear kept the disciples behind locked doors. Fear caused them to hide and keep their mouths shut. But that doesn't mean that their salvation, nor your salvation, is in jeopardy just because you fail. Jesus died for fearful failures. The gospel is for Christians too. And Jesus knows what you're going through. He knows the struggles and the weaknesses and the doubts and the fears. He was here. He is here. He lived it. He knows it. And that's why he died for you, to pay for that sin when you turn for whatever reason and swim with the currents of hell. For the perfection God demands, you simply can't give him. And so Jesus' perfect life is credited to you as yours. To acknowledge Jesus doesn't simply mean that you've cleaned up your life and you're now flying straight. It means a whole lot more than that. It means to live a life of faith, even when you find yourself stumbling and falling. It means to live a life knowing that you can trust Jesus, even when you've turned and, for whatever reason, have gone with the flow. It means to live a life of repentance, a life spent constantly turning to Jesus, trusting in his forgiveness, because in the end, his forgiveness is all you've got. That's what it means to swim against the current. That's what it means to walk the right way, the way Satan doesn't want you to go. Satan doesn't care whether you're a goody two-shoes or not. What he doesn't want you to do is to walk in repentance and faith toward the cross, because that's your only hope. There at the cross, you have Jesus' promise of forgiveness. When you come to him in repentance there at the cross, he won't turn you away. He won't chastise you or tell you how unworthy you are. He won't reject you. Rather, he will acknowledge and confess you to his Father. He will acknowledge you as one of his brothers or sisters, one whose sins he carried on the cross, ones whose sins have been buried in the tomb that the Father chooses never to look in. Apart from that promise, you couldn't repent. It wouldn't be safe. But with that promise, you can. For once you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but now you have been given a new life. Your Savior has turned you and given you faith. And the life that you now live is a new life of faith, not fear, of hope, not despair, of confession and repentance, not one of silence or self-justification. When it comes to living a godly life, and we should, the Holy Spirit will deal with that and move you from a right motivation, not a wrong one. Still, it's not easy, but it's worth it. And you know that. That's why you're here, to receive again strength from his word and supper. It's not easy, but it's worth it. And you know that. That's why you're here. so that your barely enduring ears can hear his promise to bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you and be gracious toward you and to look upon you not with contempt, but with favor and give you peace. Peace in the name of Jesus. Amen.